And gentlemen of Lafayette.
The Hammer Down Show with Jared Jussolaitis is Lafayette's number one sports show.
Yes, I'm excited!
He totally went to Jared.
The voice of Lafayette sports.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better.
Send us your thoughts on the text line at 765-447-4080.
Now go to that voodoo that you do so well!
Because, yes, we do have another portal entry that we need to discuss. Also, I don't know if you heard about this, though, but kind of a major death in the sports world today. Lots to talk about. Oh, and the Masters is going on, too. Yeah, let's all talk about it here in the Need to Know News.
Here's your Need to Know News.
Well, Mason Gillis went to the portal last night, the second Purdue player to do so after Ethan Morton jumped in yesterday afternoon. The reigning sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. Gillis averaged 6.5 points per game this season, shot nearly 47% from three. We'll get into it a little bit more. Masters going on right now. Start got pushed back a little bit today, but we did get it going. Former Boilermaker Adam Shank is in the field. He had a later start time. It's supposed to be like around noon. They pushed it back, so he's scheduled to go off at 3:06 here. So any moment, he'll go off. Paired up with Bubba Watson and Nikolai Højgaard. Currently, through 12 holes, your leader, Ryan Fox, at 5-under. Bryson DeChambeau at 2nd. He's 4-under through 13. Danny Willett at 2-under. Corey Connors at 2-under. Scottie Scheffler at 2-under as well. How about Phil? Tied for 7th right now at 1-under through 10. Zalatoris is up there in the top 10 as well at 1-under. John Rahm at 1-under through 7. Victor Hovland, 1-under. I mean, there's a bunch of... It's literally 1st, 2nd, tied for 3rd, 4 guys, and then everybody tied for 7th. We got to get all the way down to 26th after that. Kind of crazy. It's supposed to be a windy day out there as well. Other big names on the course that you might be want to know. Xander Schauffele. Plus 2 right now through 4 holes. Not off to a great start there. There's anybody else here that's actually... Ricky's even. Tony Finau's at even. Yeah. So that's where we're at. Still a lot of names to tee off, including Shank, who's getting ready to come up here. They're getting that 254 group on the hole now. Still to play, Sung J.M., Sam Burns, Cameron Young, Tiger Woods, scheduled to go for 354. Brooks Koepka, 406. Spieth, 418. Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa at 430. Cubs lost their rubber match to San Diego yesterday, 10-2. Kyle Hendricks gave up 2 homers and 7 earned over 5 innings. Struck out just 2. Bush hit a 2nd homer of the season. That was the lone 2 runs, was that homer. Cubs road swing continues with a trip up to Seattle tomorrow, Wicks versus Miller, that matchup. Sox blow a strong start in Cleveland, 7-6, that final in 10 innings. Sox led 5-0 after 3. Then both the Naylor brothers hit homers in the 4th. Guardians tied it up in the 6th. An extra Sheets hit a RBI double in the 10th, but the Naylor brothers did it again with back-to-back RBIs to get the victory. Sox are also off tonight. They will return to the South Side to host the Reds tomorrow. Flexen is back on the mound. Versus Martinez. Bulls at the Pistons tonight. Doubles, 9.5-point favorites. They are locked into the play-in tourney. Meanwhile, the Pacers off tonight. They play tomorrow night, but they'll definitely be watching the Knicks, who are in Boston this evening, and pulling for Boston. Trying to help their playoff hopes. I mean, they're in the playoffs. Like, it's happening. But they'd like to move up to maybe, like, the 4 seed. That could help. if Boston wants to get a victory, it's I believe it's still in play. Blackhawks smacked again 5-2 against the Blues. I told you yesterday, man, every one of those games decided by multiple goals. They trailed 4-0 after the first period. And they're going to return home. They'll host the Preds tomorrow. Good luck for them. And O.J. Simpson, he gone dead today at the age of 76 after a bout with cancer, his family said in a statement. I'm sure if you've gone on Twitter, you've seen it's just literally one giant joke. O.J. joke. I did watch the 11-minute montage of Norm MacDonald making fun of him on Weekend Update. Like, usually I say when somebody passes away, and we do this a lot with the politics of things, like, I understand people feel some sort of way about maybe something that's happened with them, that maybe we just pump the brakes on the I'm glad somebody's dead and all that stuff. Give 20, you still have family that, you know. I'm probably making an exception for OJ on that one. Not a ton of people you make that exception for. OJ might be one of those people. Passed away today. I was shocked. I'd forgotten that he had been told, or he had said that he was dealing with cancer. I didn't realize this was like a, like we're putting him on the clock type thing. Certainly at 76, yeah, but thought he was still okay. I guess not. He is done. There you go. That'll be it for today's Need to Know News on this stellar Thursday, April the 11th. All right. Could not be more cold. Could not be more cold. As the White Sox in three innings did us in on that under. And then, look, they didn't score the rest of the game until they went to extras. Because, of course, that's the way that works, right? Let's see what we can find with our friends over at ESPN Bet. You still got time if you want to get in on Tiger Woods. Now, they've got a featured bet for you over there. Tiger Woods tee shot hits the fairway in regulation on hole one, minus 160. Not bad at all. Kind of dig that. Minus 160, yeah, but I may just throw a unit on it because it's Tiger, right? If you think you can make birdie on hole two in round one, that's minus 115 for you. Listen, it's not too bad. You can also get him to Tiger Woods to make a birdie or better on hole one in round one is plus 900. 9-1 on your money for Tiger to come out and fire off a birdie? I mean, why, why not, right? So, look, they've got a whole bunch of great props and stuff like that for you that you can check out. That's a par four, by the way, if you're wondering what hole one is. But it has been windy up there. Just throwing that out there. I'm not a huge I'll put the fairway in. But I'm not big on people that want to bet him to make the cut and everything, too. You've yet to see him put together more than like a round and a half, right? So anything like long-term for him, I don't like. I'm not a big cut guy here. He's been through a lot. His body has been through a lot. He's still kind of recovering, and at his age, it's getting tougher and tougher. So, yeah, I'm gonna back out on that. We got no baseball tonight. You got Bulls over the Pistons, -9.5 this evening. Which I look at that, and that also seems like a lot, doesn't it? I know the Pistons have not been very good, but we're talking 9.5. The Pistons have won 2 out of 3 of these games already. The one game the Bulls did win was 119-108. That one was at home. The two games... one game that was already played in Detroit at the beginning of the season, the 28th of October, 118-102. And then the Pistons turned around and won by 10 back at the end of February. I'm not a huge NBA guy. I'm just looking at that and saying, doesn't 9.5 feel like a little bit much? I think you got Detroit guys playing for jobs. You got a lot of guys for the Bulls that are game-time decisions. Cade Cunningham is a game-time decision. But, you know, Drummond, Dosunmu are both game-time decisions. I feel like, just looking at it on the surface, how do we not take that 9.5 for the Pistons this evening? Now, that's the only, again, we're kind of scraping the barrel here. Also, by the way, I did take Nick Castellanos to hit a home run for Philadelphia tonight. You know the running joke about how Nick just comes out of these bad promos or these, they'll talk about something sad and all of a sudden like Nick will hit a home run, you know, anytime there's tragedy. Did the OJ thing here. Everybody ran, but he's like hitting 186 this year. Here's the deal. The wind is blowing out to left field pretty strong tonight in Philadelphia. I had to do it for the novelty of the whole thing. Had to. Don't you go anywhere. You sit right there. We're going to come right back here. Let's talk some Big Ten here. There's some tomfoolery in football we got to talk about. Mason's hit the portal. Let's discuss. It's coming up next. It is the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. Welcome back to the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. You can always reach out to the show by texting me on the Hammerhead text line. 765-447-4080 is that number, 765-447-4080. You can always send your thoughts in because it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're not supposed to be playing on the phone. Right? You're supposed to be working, but you always text in those thoughts, questions, whatever you got. Love to hear from you guys. You're good. All right. So, like a little Big Ten roundup of stuff. Yesterday we talked about Caitlin Clark, the importance of women's, specifically basketball right now, in capitalizing off of her success, both the WNBA needing to do it. We saw this yesterday where they talked about the Indiana Fever, who are going to draft her first in the upcoming draft here, number one overall. They've already bumped the national televised game. They had one last year. Now they're like all but one will be nationally televised. Well, that's smart. Keeping the wave going. But we also talked about, too, the importance of college and capitalizing and keeping that momentum going for the next women up and keeping, like I said, 4 million more in the national championship game than the men's game. I mean, there's certainly a demand there, but can they maintain that level? They need to develop these superstars one way or the other. And I think they got one in the Bukers gal. She's great. I think people like her, but there's going to have to be a few more out there. We'll see what they do. Example, just this incoming class that they've got coming in, ticket demand is up across the league. Media rights, our expectations are higher now. 36 games for the Fever nationally. So, yeah, I think they got to do something about that. Meanwhile, our friends up at Northwestern, what are we doing? What are we doing? Northwestern football will play the majority of its home games at its practice facility on the lake for the next 2 years, which is gorgeous. Similar to Hawaii, there'll be a temporary structure built around the field. Capacity and final configuration still TBD. I mean, look, you're going to enjoy it when you're supposed to be up there playing in like late October, early November. What do we? How do you build a new stadium and not have a plan to play anyplace? Now, Northwest is still in talks with other Chicago area venues for some games. Maybe some of the bigger games leak out someplace else. So maybe like the game, I don't know, they play Illinois at home this year. Maybe that gets played someplace else. We'll see. Now, what do you have a whole lot of options, though? Where else are you going to go play? I mean, the short-sightedness of this has got to be the amount of money they're going to lose. Not that Northwestern was selling out the place to begin with. But, like, there's no way you're going to get enough capacity inside the practice facility for these games to really and you got to build all this. It costs money. Now, here's my other confusion. Are they playing? They have an outdoor field and an indoor field in there, right? So I'm assuming they're going to do this probably on the outdoor field. That would make more sense, not in the actual indoor practice facility, although you'd think that would be nice. Still, I mean, what kind of capacity are you going to able to put up there? There's just no home field advantage. Where do you put these people to park and stuff? Like, it just... How can you be that short-sighted in this arena plan to not have a plan to put them someplace else where you build it? I understand you can't play there. You're doing everything. That's cool. I get that. But how do you move forward, have all this time to plan, and not have a backup plan? I mean, that just absolutely blows my mind. Just goes to show you the amount of money they have, because that's going to be a big financial loss. Now, luckily, they'll have the TV contract money come in, and that will help offset it. But still, you're not putting that in the coffers. You're offsetting everything you lost on football revenue. Right? So you got to put up these temporary structures. That costs money to do. Then you're going to have to pay money to keep them there. Tear them down. It just seems so ridiculous that we've gotten to that point with them. And then my other big 10 story that I want to talk about here, the Mason Gillis going into the portal last night. Yesterday it was Ethan Morton, now it's Mason. Look, these guys, they all went through senior day. We knew there was going to be guys that were not going to return regardless, right? Like, we knew. You look at what was coming in, both in caliber and in just physical availability. Right? You only have so many scholarships. You were doing the math. And this stuff gets decided mid-year, what you're going to do, right? They sit down, they talk about this so that they can plan, know what they can offer. So I don't think this should be too much of a shock to anybody. As for losing Mason in general, I mean, what a great role guy that comes off. Look, you had a guy come off the bench, fantastic rebounder for you. You didn't really worry about him turning over the ball and shot 47% from three. That's huge. He'll go take his COVID year and he'll play. But most of these guys we knew were not going to play in the black and gold again, right? We're aware of it. And while I really appreciate what Ethan Morton contributed, it's not rude to say that Mason Gillen's contribution was much greater and that impact will be felt even more with him leaving than what Ethan did. That's why he was the sixth man of the year. And look, that's a kid that's been, we took a real journey with him, didn't we? And he came in, he didn't play for how many days? Because he had that foot injury coming out? And he comes back, fans start to like him, had some off the field trouble, comes back, kept his head up, worked hard. It's everything you wanted in a Boilermaker, right? I wouldn't go so far as to call him that kind of glue guy. But boy, that was a you could lean on type of guy coming off the bench for you. Especially down the stretch, you notice that, you know, Matt Painter would look to him in those late game situations. He was reliable. He did a lot of the things that you asked him to do. 4 rebounds a game, and how many minutes did you probably average a season? 21 minutes a game? Didn't even average a turnover per game. I mean, that's how good he was. 86% free throw shooter. I think that's one of the things that we don't give him enough credit for down the when he got in there down the stretches. He was a great free throw shooter, just smart with the ball. Everything you'd expect a senior from Purdue to be for you. They do not go on the run without him. Not a big point score, but you weren't asking him to. You're asking him to hit some timely threes when you needed him to or when the defense gave it to him. Let's not forget when he torched Penn State. He had some great moments here. But it's come to an end. It is what it is. Got to wish him all the best. Like, it's not a personal thing. He's got that extra COVID year. He can go use. He wants to go and use it, go use it. I'll hate it. Especially if you don't think you're never going to play the sport again professionally or semi-professionally. Go take it. I think a lot of people wonder, why don't you just stay and do these kind of things? Like, why don't... Especially with the NIL money. Well, you know, hey, you stay for that fifth year or whatever in school if you want now sixth year. Why wouldn't you just go do that? Because you're not going to get drafted, you know. Not everybody is going to play at the next level. And some people want to get on with lives. They're good. They don't want to be 24 and taking undergrad classes so that they can keep a scholarship. Some people want to move on. But he wants to take that, you know, you're going to use that last year, then go use that last year being able to play and take one last ride. And, you know, if that turns into something for you, great. If not, you know, ready to get on with your life. Whatever you like to do. I wish him the best. Boilermaker fans certainly do. Hell of a ride with Mason Gillis. We're going to take a break. Don't you go anywhere. More Hammer Down Show coming up next on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. Back on the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. During the break, I'm reading up. Front Office Sports had a whole, like, big article on Shohei's interpreter and, like, how he's been stealing all this money. His stuff is wild. 19,000 wagers over about 2 years. So this dude's firing off almost 27 bets a day on average. 27. Good Lord. His average, it broke it down to average wager, $12,800. His largest wager was $160,000. His smallest wager was $10. What? What are you betting $10 on? When you're throwing out $12,800 of somebody else's money, what do you bet? I need to know. What did you bet $10 on? Is it literally one of the, like, the largest parlays of all time? Dude lost net losses. $40.7 million. At one point in November 2022, he texted his bookie, quote, "I'm terrible at the sports betting thing, aren't I? LOL." Oh, gosh. Other things I've got here in the afternoon. I've just been messing around with soccer. There's games on 24/7. LOL. This guy. I need to know, how do you lose, how are your net losses like $40 million? He stole $16 million from Shohei that we know of. He also managed to buy $325,000 worth of baseball cards. Where are you putting those? This story is wild, man. I still have an awful lot of questions. Because let's face it. It's totally plausible, like, we're getting the truth here, but at the same time, if you're one of those, he's the fall guy. This all sounds like rich guy behavior to me. I'm just saying. Checking in over the Masters board, Adam Shank, not a great start here. We bogeyed one. Don't like that. Pulling for Adam. I got a top 20 because let's go Boilermakers. But it's extremely windy out there today. I was looking to see where he hit that. He hit the fairway in the second hole off the tee box. So that's good. Just trying to watch it on the Masters here. Ride or die for that. Look, great for Purdue Golf. I know it's not like as big of a thing in golf to shout out your colleges and stuff like that. It's not like in the NBA. You know, we do a lot of, oh, Jaden Ivey still, you know, you talk about the pro stuff. And golf is a little bit of a niche sport. I'm sympathetic to that. But still, you got a great story. His wife is fantastic on Twitter. give her a follow, too, because she dunks on him all the time. It's hilarious. But, hey, first time to the Masters. Enjoy Augusta, man. I still don't understand why Augusta doesn't bring a women's tournament there. You know what's going to take for that, by the way? I'll tell you this. You're going to need like a Caitlin Clark level kind of superstar to emerge again. And I don't know that women's golf's had that in quite a while. Like, who's been that like phenom that moves the needle in women's golf? Last one was like, what, Michelle Wee maybe? I'm missing somebody in there. There's somebody else that's like really good, right? It needs somebody like that that'll move the needle. And Augusta would do that. All right, NFL draft is coming up here. It's getting closer and closer. Bears are apparently entertaining offers at 9. That's the rumor. But what do I tell you all the time here is you cannot buy in to any of this stuff from these, even guys you know and love. Guys that you feel like really know what they're talking about. Scheffner, Pelissandro, you can't. Because they will get fed false information. Everybody is jockeying. And here's Deion Sanders in a new interview. I worked the draft for about 10 to 12 years. I know that to be true. Talking about how the NFL teams leak rumors about prospects to manipulate their stock draft every year. Of course they do. And here he is acting like a prophet, like nobody's ever brought this up before. But this just continues, you know, he wants his guys to go to good situations. And what coach doesn't? But two, on the flip side of that, I do get the gist of you're costing kids money, essentially, right? Oh, we know something that you don't. Kind of throwing that out. It's tough. No, it's tough to be a player in this. It's also tough to say, I'm going to take the side of these kids that have been killing it and taking my money from NIL. It's hard for me to feel bad for them when they've already made more money through college than most people will make in 20, 30 years. Like, the kids are still doing fine. It's not like the old days, too, where Sam Bradford comes out and makes like $60 million right out the gate. It's not like that anymore. I get it. But, I mean, it shouldn't surprise you. So that's why as we get closer and closer to this, you'll start to see it ramped up. But you just had the young man was from Texas had the DWI, and they're going to start leaking more details because everybody wants to get somebody at a discount, right? You say, hey, I need an offensive tackle. I need a corner. It would be really nice if I could get this guy to fall to where I need him to, but man, something's gonna have to be up to for him to fall 7-8 spots or something like that to me, like I want. You don't think that those people aren't out here looking for an angle, looking for something that they can kind of feed out there, some disinformation to throw people off the scent, scare people into taking somebody else instead to get the guy that you want? Of course they're doing that. You do it in your fantasy football draft, don't you? You got pick number 2? You got pick number 3? Nah, I don't know, man. Hey, remember, he got injured. Yo, he only played like so many games. Oh, yeah, no, this is a really big risk. I was reading this article about this, man. And they were just saying, like, I don't think Richardson's a top quarterback pick because of this. Oh, you know, they're playing a lot of teams that have like a 3-4 this year that he struggles. You know, you do that. You absolutely do that. I don't understand why that's a big thing. But again, there's still going to be a lot. Now, even though the Bears have settled in, it looks like on Caleb Williams. We had Braggs and Stans talk about that. He's a guy that's pretty plugged in there. Doesn't mean that 9, it could just easily be trade rumors. Right? Because if you're sitting back there at 10, you're interested in who might be jumping up there because you don't want to lose your player. And all of a sudden you get antsy and you say, okay, what would it cost for us to flip with that spot? Do we have to take a jump up here? What's our fault? All that stuff to create confusion, disinformation, and to get better values and maybe induce more trade partners. It's going to continue to happen. You can't trust anything until Goodell reads that card. I don't know why he thinks that shocks anybody. Yeah, they do that. Of course they do that. Why wouldn't they do that? I do it. You're trying to get game changers. You're trying to get the best player at the position of need that you want to address. And if you can con somebody into making a mistake, you do it. They're just using all the tools in the toolbox. That's the way they do it. You know who's got all the tools for me? Xfinity. Oh my gosh, my internet. So fast. I love it too. The fastest speeds yet. 5 to 10 times faster upload speeds with Xfinity XFi Complete. Wall-to-wall Wi-Fi. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care what I'm doing. We're streaming and we are good. Have peace of mind doing everything you love online with unlimited data. Only Xfinity will upgrade your gateway after 3 years at no extra cost for a better, more reliable connection for your home as well. They're taking care of you. They want you to have the speed. They want you to be happy here. Wall-to-wall Wi-Fi coverage throughout your whole home with XFi Pod included if they recommend that for you. I already love the speeds. You know, I love the security as well. It's connected. It's protected. We're good to go. Because I got the little ones here. I don't know what they're going to... My daughter's going to click on. She's 7. She accidentally clicks on an ad. Boom. We're protected. I don't have to worry about that with Xfinity. You shouldn't have to worry about these things. You're too busy. Right? You want speed. You want coverage. You want protection. Xfinity's got you. Get started. Call 1-800-XFINITY. Visit Xfinity.com or drop into an Xfinity store today for more details. Tech upgrade is limited to Xfinity Internet customers with XFi Complete and Xfinity XFi Gateway equipment. Upgrade after 3 years requires Xfinity Internet with compatible Xfinity XFi Gateway. Other restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Where are you going? You hang tight here. We're wrapping up. Some of the things that we may have missed are coming up next here on the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. I am Jared Jessalitis. Thursday rain. Ugh. But at least you got the Masters on. Keeping up with Adam here. He had a birdie op on 2, and the putter is just not... Putter's not doing it right now for him, man. He left that one a little bit short, but he does tap in for the par. And we are on to hole 3. He has 1 over through 2. So we'll try to keep you in the know with that. This killer, man. I want to see him just do well at this so bad. He's always seemed like a really good dude. DeChambeau has taken over the top spot. He's 6 under. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, especially with as windy as it's being today. If you get the distance, that's probably a big difference today. Rahm sitting back there at 5th, tied 2 under. Hovland's moved up to 2 under, 5th. That's what's going on at Augusta. Time for some of the things that we may have missed. Allegedly, a source in Kentucky says, or at least a source in Connecticut says, they could offer $20 million to Hurley to coach per year. He would turn that down. You sure about that? $20 million? I'll tell you this, he's probably one of those people that's leaking out that level, right? I mean, the whole idea is to get an offer that you really like, and you turn around to your athletic director and says, listen, here's what they're offering. I like it here. I'll give you a bit of a hometown discount, but I'm going to need an extra Brinks truck or two. What you got? And that's the perk right there. And look, I don't blame them. They love him there. There's pressure, but not overwhelming pressure like fans at Kentucky will put on you. You are not competing in your NIL space with things like football very much, I assume, right? Both those basketball programs are getting a bulk of the money there. It seems like he's happy with the NIL contributions to the basketball program. Why would you leave? I think there is something to be said about thinking long term about your career. I think when you look to jump like that and take that payday, the expectations are very high. And you know very well how hard it is to not only build a program, put it together, but maintain it and win that tournament. And you've already got it all set up there. If you're getting, if you could turn this into, what, let's say you're making, what's he making, like 5 years, something like that? 4? You turn that into 6.5, 7? If you're doing that plus incentives, what's another $2 million to you when you're already making that kind of good money? Why take the extra $2 million over maybe 4 years? They get impatient and they can you. And then your career takes a major dip, and then you got to work to get back up to a place that poaches players, not lets their players be poached. I think you got to think long-term in your legacy. And he's clearly done that. And that's a smart thing to do. $20 million though to coach basketball? I'm not going to say I'm not thinking about it, right? If that were true. And it's interesting. I don't know where Kentucky goes to next. Because it sounds like Scott Drew's out, right? Family showed up, walked around, said, nah, we're good. I don't know. It's a great question. Because they don't want just any name. They don't want just any name. They want the name. It's kind of like Indiana. Who I saw Arizona's Bala once to come out here and play in Bloomington. Or at least they were bringing him in to talk. I think I saw Assembly Call say, the sale here is easy. Like it's, there's going to be a duffel bag with like nearly $1 million in it, right? Probably not that much. Maybe like 5-6. Still, yeah, that's the sell. That's the whole reason he's in the portal. Pay me. I mean, if he's a 7-footer that was worried about going into the NBA, maybe go to a place that, I don't know, constantly puts 7-footers in. Just a thought. Just a thought. Don't forget the spring game is this Saturday. It's actually on Big Ten Network, but it sounds like it's going to be really good. We got to work on getting Tom Deanhart on the show this week. See if we can't talk about that. Still got Sam King coming up on Friday. We'll talk about the portal, his experience down there in Arizona. And he had some great seats. He saw a lot of things. Kind of just let everything settle in. I thought about trying to get guys on earlier in the week. Kind of had that rapid reaction, but I don't know. Something just didn't feel right about it. I just want to let it kind of set in for everybody, settle down. We talked about it. But we'll have Sam on Friday, too. It was a good signing day yesterday for some local high school athletes, too. Other things we may have missed, I do want to shout this out because I do have a dog. I love dogs. Another Bark in the Park for Purdue baseball this weekend. They do that on Sundays. And then again, another gorgeous day out on Sunday. I think it's like 79, maybe some storms in the back half of the day. We'll see. But you bring your dog out, they actually have matching dog bowls that you can get. One says chugga-chugga, the other one says chew-chew. Like the water bowl, chugga-chugga, and then chew-chew, but like, you know, you're chewing. That's really clever. And tickets are just $5, it says. That's amazing. Baseball hosting Sparty this weekend starting on Friday. Don't want you to miss out on that. And yeah, it's a weird night, isn't it? No baseball tonight. At least no Chicago baseball, no Chicago hockey. Bulls are playing if you are so inclined. But, you know, we had a lot of afternoon baseball. It's just, it's, It's quiet early. It's quiet here. Oh, what am I going to do with myself on Thursday night? I'm still transitioning. Are you still transitioning out of basketball? Like, I don't know what to do on the evening. I don't have anything to flip on and watch. It even gets rough when we get to the tournament because I'm like, what am I doing on Tuesday, Wednesday? I got to get into baseball mode, man. And today is not the day to get into baseball mode. Just isn't. But that does do it for us here on the Hammer Down Show. Friday, Sam King's going to be on with us here. I'll see if I can... I'll ask very nicely, see if we can get Tom Dienhardt on tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to be able to see what time the interviews all line up, but the spring game is Saturday. So we'll talk to him. We'll see, and we'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow with football. Position groups, who we're watching, what we're watching for in the spring. We'll break it all down for you here. That's back here tomorrow on the Hammer Down Show, 3 o'clock on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7 The Hammer. I will see you back here tomorrow.